He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is a holiday week. The holiday feeling seems to be in the air. This is the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We've got a pretty good start to the market today. We've got the Dow right now is up 81 points. It's a quarter of a percent. Puts it at 35,028. The S&P 500 is up 14 points right now. That puts it at 4,528. The NASDAQ is up 86. It's doing best of all. It's up over half a percent right now. The NASDAQ is at 14,210. Small caps lagging a little bit. They're up 10 basis points. We're at 1,800 on the Russell 2000. Crude oil, anticipating a cut by OPEC this coming Sunday, is up $1.26 today. $77.15 is where crude oil is right now. Gold is down $12.40 to $19.72. Silver down 34 cents to 23.51. And the 10-year, very, very quiet today. We're clear down at 4.45. We've stayed down there. That's the longest we've been under 4.5 for quite some time. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Well, you know what? You always say it's a holiday week. Not much will happen, Barry, but there's always plenty happening in the stock market. In fact, you know, the drama began after the market closed on Friday with Sam Altman, who pretty much is the face of AI. That's who people, recognize as the guy who came up with ChatGPT. He's a young guy back in the Silicon Valley. And he was fired from his job where he works. What's the name of the company he works for? It's OpenAI. Okay, so he was kind of the founder. Billions of dollars have been invested in that, including a lot of money from Microsoft. We really don't know why he was fired other than OpenAI saying he wasn't being 100% candid.
With the board, yeah.
Whatever and also, that means.
I also saw something where they said, you know, he wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't necessarily a great face, but he wasn't a great spokesman, like stuff that he, I mean, stuff that
yeah,
he said didn't go off
I've
well.
Heard.
And I'm like, I'm thinking he's probably a coder by trade, which means
yeah.
probably not that. Usually you don't have both of those skills. Right?
No, you know, a lot of these guys, tend towards, like Elon Musk, you know, he says a lot of things that aren't really socially right to say. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they don't really think. They're out there with their minds and their brains and everything. And sometimes it comes back to bite them. But the big news is, okay, so, I mean, Microsoft was down over the weekend. The big news is this morning, way before the open, Microsoft hired Sam Altman to run their AI. Now, to me, I'm just going to say that was a bad move for OpenAI. And a very good move for Microsoft because now they can develop it, I'm sure, a lot quicker. They've got Altman working for them. Now, whether or not I don't know how much of the AI is him and his team. He's bringing the other guy who quit OpenAI with him to Microsoft. So it's only good news for Microsoft. Microsoft is hitting a new Almost. It hit a new all-time high last Thursday. It's bumping up against that today. It's up $4.74 to $375. It's back to $2.78 billion in market capitalization. And, of course, they really put AI on the map. I mean, people know now what AI is all about. Most people have had a chance to use ChatGPT. I think it's helping Microsoft with their search engine, Bing. And now they have got a new employee. I'm sure he makes a pretty hefty little price, Microsoft stock. He's loaded up with the AI stock, OpenAI stock. He's a pretty rich guy there. I think he's around 35 years old.
Yeah, and he's co-founder of OpenAI initially. So,
yes, he's very wealthy, and you know, he's the in crowd there in Silicon Valley. Well, we finished off the week pretty quiet, but I think the big story last week was interest rates remaining low. We're down in the 4.45 area, 4.45 area. We'll see which way the track of least resistance is. It's been very volatile, interest rates. The bond market's been very volatile. There's a lot of debt coming to the market to finance our national debt, and that has made things very, very unpredictable. The Fed, we're thinking no more rate hikes. That was probably another big story coming out of last week, was the CPI, the cooling inflation. And the negative number on the PPI was also big. You had the big meeting in San Francisco between Biden and Xi. I didn't hear anything really that came from that other than more, you know, they don't like each other. It doesn't seem like, you know, there's going to be much cooperation going forward other than in climate change, which I don't know that China's all on board for that myself. We have a shortened week this week. The market is closed on Thursday. I think Friday is a short day.
I know Wednesday is a short. I think Wednesday, I believe, is a short day.
I doubt it. I know
Friday
is
a short day. I know Friday is a short day in the market. I mean, in the bond market, they tend to be a little more liberal with some of their time.
I'm going to become a bond trader on Friday and take the day off early. NVIDIA is going to report earnings this week. You know, it's almost become NVIDIA is probably the most important company these days to report earnings. And that's all I know is the last time they reported earnings, that was the best earnings report I've ever seen since I've been in the business. I mean, they just absolutely just, it was a shocking earnings report. NVIDIA will report, I think, tomorrow after the close.
That'll be a fun one.
Okay. Yes, at 5 p.m., and they'll hold their earnings conference call. So, don't go on vacation yet. Don't call it a week yet. We've got, and then, of course, Friday is Black Friday. You know, that's big for Walmart and Target and Costco and Best Buy and Dick's Sporting Goods and Macy's and all the rest. We'll see what comes out of Black Friday.
Oh, and speaking of Black Friday, I'm just looking right now. The market will close at 1 p.m. On Friday, so you'll have some time to get some shopping.
I'm going to run over to Target and wait in line, camp out overnight. What's happening on Wednesday? I'm going to guess Wednesday's a full day.
It looks like Wednesday is going to be a full day. I was looking at that. Yeah, it's on the back end. It's on the Thursday.
Your Thanksgiving dinner is going to cost 27% more. That's how much it's up since 2019.
Wow.
4 years, up 27%. That is a huge, huge jump. There's your inflation for you. Microsoft puts itself in a stronger AI position, according to Wedbush, hiring Altman and Brockman. Wedbush has an outperform rating and $425 target price on Microsoft. We continue to be, that's one of our biggest positions is Microsoft. Microsoft made a multi-billion dollar investment into OpenAI. Well, I'm sure they'll make out on that, but I just think it was a bad move for OpenAI to lose Altman. And obviously there can't be too many issues with him if Microsoft turned right around and hired him. Now, this Sunday will also be big news. OPEC Plus will be meeting. And I see oil prices drifting up here this morning. Will OPEC Plus decrease production? That would not surprise me at all. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, last week, Barry, the oil markets reached contango. Sounded like a dance. Let's do the contango, you know, and yeah. A little jazzy beat there.
You're getting me back into my, deep into my finance brain.
Yeah.
There's backwardization and contango. If I remember right, I think contango means that the future price is now more expensive than the current price. I think backwardization is if your future's, you know, price is lower than the current price.
Yes.
But don't quote me on that. I'm
yes.
not trading many commodities. Right
the bottom now. Line is there's plenty of supply of oil on the markets right now. That's kind of what contango indicates. But I got a hunch they will be meeting this Sunday. Saudi Arabia and Russia, you know, have voluntarily cut their production. They'll keep it in place for sure. I think you'll probably see them cut it again. I think they want to keep oil up in the $80 range minimum. So we'll see. Now, chart talk. I don't know. You know, you see all kinds of stats. The S&P 500 hasn't hit an all-time high in 471 days. I guess that's significant. That's the seventh longest stretch in history. Now, what's kind of unusual here is earnings have hit an all-time high.
Right.
But the market hasn't. That tells you something. That tells you that it's been the multiple that has impacted the market. The multiple contracting on high interest rates have been the culprit here in keeping the market from hitting a new high. Now, the all-time high for the S&P 500 was 4,818. And we've been dilly-dallying around in the 4,200-4,300 area all year long. Well, and you could also make the case that the market was far ahead of itself, especially at the beginning of last year. In January of 2022, the multiple hit 22.5, which is way beyond where it belonged. And that's probably one of the reasons why the Fed got so aggressive, 475-point rate hikes in a row. I don't know when that happened last. And that has held the market down. And so anyways, you know, I don't know that if it's that big of a deal. If you go back to 2000 after the NASDAQ, it took a long time. I think that was 1,541 days, almost 3.5, 4
wow.
years.
Yeah.
And so this is another long one. Will we ever get back to an old high on the S&P 500, an all-time high? Well, based on earnings, we should. Next year, There's two things that can happen. Earnings can come down. Earnings expectations can come down, number one. And number two is the multiple can come down if interest rates continue to head higher, which they've been pretty quiet here recently. Okay, now here's Goldman Sachs' 2024 stock strategy. Well, I just haven't found them to be one of the ones where I get a lot of good ideas over the years. But we are pretty close to each other. They see the S&P getting to 4,700 next year. Rates will likely remain high. The Fed will not cut the policy rate until late next year, says David Kostin. You know, we saw that one prediction that there will be several draconian rate cuts next year, early next year, because of a looming recession, which I'm not on board with that. I don't see that happening. I do maybe see some rate cuts by the end of next year, somewhere in there. It just depends on the economy. So what does Goldman Sachs to say to invest in? Sales growth. Companies that are growing their sales. Now, I have a hard time with that, Barry. I've seen Rivian, for instance. They're growing their sales at triple digits. Fisker is growing their sales. But I guess they're throwing in a little bit of quality in there, too.
You've got to have some earnings. Earnings got to come to the bottom line.
Yes.
Revenues are great, but they got to flow through to EPS.
I've seen some tremendous sales growth that never translated to earnings, bottom line earnings. So with that in mind, here's their list from top to bottom. Number one, Enphase. Now, I couldn't disagree more. That is a solar stock that makes solar technology. They're basing that on sales growth of 33% next year. Their number two pick, ServiceNow. 21% sales growth next year. Number three, Lilly. Well, that's
two out of three so far, right?
Yes, that's 20% next year sales growth. Number four, it is amazing that Lilly has better sales growth than NVIDIA. Number four. And, of course, Lilly is being fueled by Zepbound, their weight loss drug. NVIDIA is their fourth pick. Five, I can't disagree with more. Albemarle, which is lithium. Yes, they're growing their sales, but it's all about the price of lithium. It's all about the margins there. And then they've got EQT, Lam Research, Microsoft, Chipotle, Arista, Lululemon, Texas Instruments, Airbnb, Adobe, Cadence, Meta Platforms, Autodesk, Alphabet, IDEX, and Edwards. I will say this. That's one of the best lists I've seen come out of Goldman Sachs in a long, long time. Because it's focused.
We have a handful of those.
They're focused on superior growth.
Right.
And if you believe in the adage that stocks follow earnings, the best growth is going to support the best stock price appreciation also. Okay, short seller, Jim Chanos. You know, I think he made one good call in his life, which a lot of people...
Was that becoming a hedge fund manager and made him rich? His own self?
That's exactly right. Okay, so at the beginning of the financial crisis in 2008... So we've talked about how far the S&P has come since 2009. It's gone up every year. Well, he has one strategy, short stocks. How has that worked out since 2008? His assets under management have gone from $6 billion, Barry, to $200 million. He's toasted a lot of money. And a lot of people have left him. He made a name for himself when he shorted energy company Enron before it went bankrupt in 2001. He also bet heavily against Tesla, thinking it was a failure. Well, you know, it hasn't worked out too well for for Jim Chanos, shorting stocks in one of the longest bull markets of all time. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. I just want to go back to Jim Chanos here for a minute. That just shows you, Barry, how important the macro, getting the macro right. If you've been shorting stocks since 2008, now, if you would have started in 2006, and then around early 2009 switched to going long stocks, he might have ran his $6 billion up to $20 billion by now. Instead, he took his $6 billion down to $200 million because he was wrong. He might have been right about some of the stocks he chose to short, having weak fundamentals and whatnot, but he's had the wind. He's had a massive amount of wind in his face trying to short stocks in a bull market that began back in 2009.
Right, and there's two types of, you know, two of those types of risks that are important that you're mentioning is, number one, market risk, right? So all stocks have a certain degree of, you know, market risk, and then you've got what we call stock-specific risk for, you know, an individual stock its own, you know, on its own. And, you know, even if he got the stock-specific risk portion correct, like you said, you've got another, you know, the win for the market in general, right, was you know, much stronger. And so even if you got half of that equation correct, the market was still going up, which helps prop up even bad companies. I mean,
that's why I believe, I mean, you can't be a perma bear and you can't be a perma bull, because the situation in the market changes from time to time. I witnessed 2000, where you saw an 80% drop in the NASDAQ. I witnessed 08 and 09 when you saw a 53% drop in the S&P 500. And then, of course, last year where you had about a 25% drop in the S&P 500. So, there would be some that would say, well, just pick a one-size-fits-all asset allocation based on your age only and ride through thick and thin. I just think you can do better than that myself, because when you do that, you're just saying, yeah, I'm going to have some horrible years, and I'm going to miss the really big years because I'm going to be weighted down with the things that aren't doing well. So, look, hey, everybody has a different outlook, a different strategy. It's all I can tell you is the lowest amount of work. The easiest strategy to run as a firm would be an asset allocation.
Yeah.
Barry, we would hardly ever have to just send out, a quarterly statement. We adjusted you're a quarter of a year older. We've lightened up a little bit more on stocks. We've bought a little bit more of bonds. And you know, you can even program that, these rebalancing programs.
I was gonna say, yeah, we can make it even real easy, and we could rebalance it daily.
Yes, I mean, it's all done through a robot that does it. Now, it doesn't take into account interest rates or the direction thereof. It doesn't take into account earnings or the direction thereof. It doesn't take into account current events, global events, any of that. It's solely based on age. Now, I'm sure
clients. It doesn't take into account that, you know, every client's different.
Yeah, yeah. Some people need massive growth, and other people need massive safety. So all of that comes into play. All right, town hall. Bob Iger, you know, he's been in now for 1 year. The stock is down 3.5% since Iger retook the helm 1 year ago today. And the natives are getting restless over there. Pressure's mounting on Disney CEO Bob Iger, who took the helm exactly a year ago, given their declining stock price and muted box office record. Well, you know, they're going to pull one out of the hat. They're going to go back. They're going to do a Frozen 3. And he said, don't be surprised to see a Frozen 4. But as far as new stuff coming out of Disney, so what's he going to do? He's going to have a town hall a week from today. He's going to discuss future operations. He's going to try to jawbone the stock higher and talk about, you know, what kind of plans they have going forward.
Because they've done some cuts now. I mean, they've announced some cost cutting. You've got, you know, they pretty soon into his tenure. I mean, they've, you know, they kind of cleaned house. It got rid of some of the some personalities that expensive personalities at say ESPN. You know, they cut a lot of those. Remember, they cut a lot of, I think they called them, you know, mid-level or mid-management,
yeah,
right, jobs. And just, I mean, what, and I think re-announced, right? So additional, what, three, I want to say it was another $3 billion in cuts at this, at the last earnings, earnings.
And it remains a struggling company because they're not putting out any new material, it would seem to be. Now, speaking of cost cutting, okay, you've got, a country that about every 4 or 5 years does something drastic. And Argentina over the weekend elected Javier Milei as president. He is a libertarian outsider. He is going to begin a drastic shakeup of the government at a time when the economy has been struggling. They have triple-digit inflation, which isn't anything new for Argentina. They have growing poverty. And so you can't blame the people saying, you know what, we're going to try something else here because what we're doing is not working. So he's going to come in with a chainsaw and start slashing state spending. He says there's no room here for lukewarm measures. So this will be quite an experiment.
And wants to dollarize the economy.
He's going to, get rid of the peso.
Yeah, the problem there is they don't have, they don't, it's take a while because they don't have enough currency reserves, right?
No.
To actually do it. And so it'll be certainly going to be an interesting, like you said, I think experiment's probably the best way to describe it. And, you know, it's in an area of South America. I mean, we've got Chile just next door, and you and I have done a good bit of research on the,
yep,
on the, you know, on that political system and who won, and essentially made SQM basically uninvestable for us.
Right, right.
And so it's certainly a dichotomy between those two approaches, right?
Yes, and you know the other thing, and of course, there's a lot of people that would love to see this happen here in the U.S. Right? He's going to get rid of the central bank, which is their Fed. He's also going to get rid of a lot of key ministries, such as the health department and the education department. And I remember the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, when he was in one of the debates saying that he wanted to get rid of several government agents. Well, this guy in Argentina is going to do it. So we'll see what happens with that. Okay.
And they've just had such a history of, of inflation. I mean, I can, you know, one of my first gigs out of college was working stock option with stock option plans for companies, and you know they had some Coca-Cola bottlers down in Argentina, and had folks there, and anytime they exercise some options, you know, they would make sure that they're, you know, it's going to come in dollars, correct?
Yeah.
It's like, yes, it's coming in dollars.
So. Yeah, and they've defaulted on their debt many times in Argentina, so they have a hard time going to the world markets, floating more debt. Oh, anyways.
But great at soccer. Really, yes. Soccer's doing well there.
Yes. Okay. They need to take that club public, I guess. You know, their team, like Manchester United,
yeah,
did.
Take
Beyond
whole
Inc.
Team.
Now, Beyond Inc. is not Beyond Meat. Overstock.com changed their name to Beyond Inc. because they took over the Bed Bath & Beyond assets. and you've got a new symbol, BYON. In addition, you have the old Overstock.com stuff, but they're looking to put Marcus Lemonis, who you know was the prophet on CNBC for several years. He's there. He's been given. He's bought a lot of stock. They want to elevate him to the leadership position there. He currently runs Camping World, which he took public. So we'll see. That's a potential turnaround play. Luckin Coffee. Now, we owned that at one time, a long time ago. And I saw trouble, and I ran, and that thing got delisted at some point.
Well, definitely got delisted, and then and because they had, I think they had, was it, it was one of those things where it was
they were
accounting,
just making,
accounting misrepresentation,
just making the numbers up, right?
Not, okay. Never as good. Yeah.
But now Luckin outsells Starbucks in China, because that's what it was. It was the Starbucks of China, and now it's bigger. And lastly, you know, I hate to see the Oakland A's. I mean, that's one of the great franchises, but the stadium is horrible. Another Las Vegas-bound team, the Oakland Athletics. We'll be right back. I've been on the right trail, but I must use the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Crude oil up $1.51 today to $77.40. The market's up today. NASDAQ up 75. Dow up 89. It's mostly Boeing, however, in the Dow. Boeing's had a pretty good month here in November. My friends at Boeing pretty excited about the way things have been going. That's a pretty good. That's a tremendous reversal.
Got some new orders.
Yes,
right.
I mean, that stock went from 250 down to 175. I mean, that's 30% drop, and now it's from that level. It's up about $40 a share. That's about a 25% gain. So it's been volatile. It has a long way to go to get back to where it was in late July, but it's up 3.8% today. And apparently Airbus has some kind of issues with the economy of their engines or something like that, and so they're losing out on a lot of these bids and whatnot to Boeing.
Yeah, and they've been, I think they've, and some of those issues, the problem is, I think they've been having trouble delivering the, they've won the order battle, you know, last year, and they're just having a tough time getting the planes actually built, I think.
Well, I talked to one of my friends, Thursday night.
They had that Pratt engine issue, I think that's what it was. I think that's the company that they had the problem from, but.
Thursday night, I said, hey, you guys getting a lot of orders. Now we just got to get them built off the line.
Right.
I guess that's an issue.
That whole business is about back orders.
Wow.
Their backlog. I mean, when you look at, you know, they're building things foreign to, you know, you don't just whip one of those things up, you know, off the assembly line. And
can you imagine how long it takes? I'd have to ask him what the average time is to build one of those things, but I'd say there's about 25 of them sitting on there ready to be delivered or very close to being delivered.
And that's Dreamliner, the one that they do here, right?
It seems like they're out of room over there.
Yeah.
Okay, now Salesforce is up 1.3%. I'm just going to say it's a pretty quiet day. I think a lot of people probably take the whole week off. Intel's up 1% today. Intel's been one of the comeback stocks of the year. That's a great chart on Intel. That's one of the best charts in the entire market. And now you've got Intel trading at a P.E. ratio of 73. It's trading at NVIDIA-like numbers. which keeps me a little bit nervous about, you know, getting it. But I've watched Intel go and go and go and have a pretty good year. In the NASDAQ, there's really very little going on. I'm not seeing any noise at all being made by AMD, Microsoft. I thought maybe Microsoft would get a boost today out of the OpenAI news, but I guess I don't know if that changes the dynamics that much. They were already locked in with Altman. I suppose if Altman would have went and started another company, that would have been bad for Microsoft because they're pretty much tied to OpenAI, the company. But there's very little happening in Alphabet, Microsoft, AMD, NVIDIA, Tesla. They're all very, very quiet today. Nobody willing to make much of a bet one way or another there. The leader in the NASDAQ is JD.com. The Chinese stocks have had a horrible year. China is negative, one of the few markets in the world that is negative for the year. Mercado Libre is up 1.3% in the NASDAQ. Those are the two best performers. That shows you how just, you know, all the big names are just not really in the movers at all. Starbucks is down 1.3%. Ulta is down 1.1%. Now we go to the S&P 500. Penn National Gaming up 5.8%. And it looks like maybe they're finally going to be profitable.
Yeah, Bet ESPN, I guess, has started, or ESPN Bet. I forget the name, which direction that name is in. But, yeah, they're I guess they're getting some benefits from that partnership, I guess, more than expected. It's off to a good start. So.
Yes, Enphase is up 3.7%. Well, if you're bottom fishing for a growth stock, and if you do think solar has a future, in New York they certainly think it has a future because it's going to be provide 100% wind and solar by 2040. If that's possible, I just say you're going to have a lot of interruptions and it's not all that reliable. That's my experience.
And my guess is that city pulls, New York City, my guess is that city pulls a pretty good amount of power.
They've got a lot of problems in the state of New York. They've got a mayor in New York City, Eric Adams. They've got the governor, Kathy Hochul, who ended up inheriting the job, kind of, and then
from
got
Cuomo,
elected.
Right? Yeah, from
after
Cuomo.
Cuomo left. You got Boston today saying no more. Putting up the no vacancy sign because of all of the migrants that have showed up there. So a lot of problems up there on the – that's why we keep seeing so many New York not license plates down here in South Carolina. And the snowbirds kind of arrived this time of year. I saw a lot of snowbirds over the weekend. Boeing's up 3.6. Gap Store's up 3.4. Macy's up 2.1. That's kind of where it's at today. Pretty quiet day. In the markets today, probably going to see light, very light volume all week long. But we do get NVIDIA's earnings tomorrow after the close. That's probably the highlight of the week. What will NVIDIA report? If you would like to get 2 weeks of the newsletter, what did I write about? I wrote about this past week the drama in the bond market. Other things, the inflation, I wrote about that, updated the target price for 2024. We're going to come in very, very close to what we predicted for this year, back in December of last year when we were doing the numbers for this year. It's going to be very, very close. We'll see what happens next year. It all comes down to two things, earnings and interest rates, and then I think global events. And I think you're going to have a pretty contested election. It's an election year already coming up here in another 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. We're on another election year. Woo, it could be a wild one there. So I'm not going to remain passive. I'm going to be on edge. I'm going to be on guard. I'm going to be vigilant going into 2024. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. give us a call, set up an appointment, get a plan going for 2024, for heaven's sakes. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.